your generic live show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for joining us. We are live right now on a Sunday, and it's a pleasure to be here. And wow, the tennis, the Australian Open tennis is a doozy. We are live right now, and the tennis is still going. It started about 3 hours ago, folks, and it's actually expected to finish within the show. So we will tell you, we will bring you the score from the Australian Open tennis, which is the men's final. It all wraps up tonight, the 29th of January. Currently at 1 minute past the hour, Federer is trailing. He's currently up in the fifth set. Nadal is currently, well, they're tied for the amount of sets that they've won, actually. So we'll go with Federer because he's currently in the lead. 6-4, 3-6, 6-1, 3-6, 4-3. And they're currently on 15 love to Federer. Nadal is serving currently. We'll bring you all of the updates right here from the Australian Open. I'd love having, no matter what the story is, excuse me, no matter what the story is, I just love bringing live details like that. It's so good. But I promise I won't get too distracted from the massive show that we have planned for you today. We've got a huge show for you today. Now, this week was a week like no other. Last Thursday was Australia Day. That's right. I said it. And if you don't like the fact that I said Happy Australia Day, you can send your emails to genericliveshow@gmail.com. Ding! I got the plug in. The plug for the email is complete. In all seriousness, though, this year was like no other year before. They campaigned to change the date of Australia Day because social justice warriors are up in arms about how it offends too many people. And I'm not, this is, don't take this as me bagging history on what happened to the history in the founding of this country. That's very important about the history of this country, and, you know, forms the our constitution, the Australian constitution, and forms the background of this fine nation. In saying that, though, the celebration of this day is been happening for years, and I don't understand how right now it has been happening, like, to be, you know, this massive uproar in changing the date of Australia Day to have Australia Day be another date, which we'll get to. We'll get to that, trust me. We'll get to the story behind that one, to being the 26th being the day, a day of mourning for those people who lost their lives on January 26th. And one article that was getting around was an editorial from The Guardian. And this opinion piece highlights why it should be, this argument revolves around Nick Dolson, who explained succinctly why he thought Australia's National Day is celebrated on the wrong date after accepting his Australia Day award in 2009, where that is when this campaign to change the day of Australia Day became part of the popular lexicon, but this year is just blown up. Many of our people call it Invasion Day. To many Indigenous Australians, I quote, "In fact, most Indigenous Australians, it really reflects the day in which our world is crashing down," quote, Nick Dolson said. The idea is that it's not appropriate to hold a national celebration on the date the First Fleet arrived in Sydney's courage in 1788 to begin the process of Indigenous disposition wasn't new. It wasn't even the first time Australian of the Year had said so. Someone pledged the date change be honoured in 1984, but as I've mentioned before, this has been an argument that has been pushed now. The Guardian Australia agrees. This is not a date that unifies Australia. In fact, it's hard to think of a worse date for a party that it's supposed to include us all. Okay. The National Australia Council itself acknowledges the problem. Quote, we recognise that some Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and some non-Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians may have mixed feelings about celebrating this day. January 26th has multiple meanings. It is Australia Day and is also some Survival Day or Invasion Day. The NADC acknowledges that the date brings a mixture of celebration and mourning, and we believe that programs presented by the NADC should play a powerful and positive role in advising reconciliation. The national strategy that followed the initial decade-long process to achieve recognition recommended the date be changed. Quote, governments, organizations, and communities negotiate to establish, promote symbols of reconciliation, it said. This would include changing the date of Australia Day to a date that includes all Australians. Okay, first of all, unquote. Second of all, since when did January 26th, I was reading ahead in this article. Since when did January 26th not include all Australians? I believe everyone in this country has the same calendar on their wall. It's not like that more than one person has a different calendar on their wall than to... that they have different dates that they can celebrate particular events. It didn't make sense for me to read that. But we'll move on. Fremantle Council tried to hold its year's main ceremony celebrant at a more inclusive January 28 event, but eventually bowed to pressure from the federal government. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, insistent that Australia will be sticking with January 26th. Back in 2009, the then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd replied to Nick Dolson's suggestion with a bit more oomph, to say the least, to our Indigenous leaders, and I also quote, and to those who call for a change to our national day, let me be simple, respectful, but it's a straightforward no, he said. But insistently, more Indigenous leaders have suggested changing our understanding of exactly what we're celebrating on January 26th. A footballer also suggested broadening what Australia Day is about. There was a lot of anger, a lot of sorrow for this day, and much feeling of Invasion Day. Okay. That is something that we need to celebrate, and all Australians need to celebrate. There's a day we celebrate 225 years of European settlement, and right now, that's who we are as a nation, but we also need to acknowledge our fantastic Aboriginal history over 40 years. This article continues, and this is where we get to the change the date hashtag that went around this year. By the way, I'm surprised that didn't start in 2009, but this year it came with a hashtag, and oh my god, I can't hold back anymore. Why do we need to hashtag this again? We don't need to put a hashtag on these sort of things. It only makes it worse. I mean, it's not making it any better, if that makes sense. You know, this hashtag changed the day is not promoting what happened on Australia Day. It's promoting the effect and not the cause, if that makes sense. It's everything has a cause and effect, but this hashtag encompasses the cause and effect. It's only doing the effect, but not the cause. Whereas a hashtag that did this right, and I think this is where changing the date is kind of going, but I think the hashtag I will ride with you back in the Sydney siege, that everyone that was using that hashtag promoted the both the cause and effect on that one, where because after the Sydney siege there was a kind of disrespect for there was this message that was being blasted out of how all people of color were bad. But people were using the hashtag I will ride with you to prove that wrong. That's the cause and effect on that hashtag, whereas hashtag change the date doesn't really, it only promotes one side of the coin. Triple J did not move their Hottest 100 countdown at all. What did top, and completely unrelated note, what did top the Triple J Hottest 100 list? Nope, that's not this year's list. It did. Triple J's Hottest 100, does Australia's youth broadcaster have an identity crisis? That is totally a different thing. All the winners and losers in the Hot 100, sure, why not? Completely unrelated. Not that I'm making a... Okay. Oh wow, the Hottest 100 actually had 66% of Australian music in. It's not giving me the list. Where is the list? Never Be Like You? By Flume? That makes sense. I can see that. That was number one. Okay. Yeah. It is a good song. It was being played here consistently. So I can see why that would meant to the top of the charts. But why should they change the date in this issue? Anyway, I'm getting way too ahead of myself to present my opinions on this, but okay, say for example, if for some reason we were to change the date of Australia Day, what would we change it to? Well, in 1996 and 1997, key issues around the national identity came into question. Well, the point here is that we can technically change the date. Because it's a public holiday, and also a national holiday, it is determined on a state level. So a bold premier could break tradition and change the date with the approval of Canberra. Legally, they don't need the Prime Minister to say yes. In fact, for most of its history, there has been nothing particularly national about Australia Day. It all started in 1938 to mark 150 years of British settlement, which happened on January 26, 1778. When the bicentenary arrived in 1988, there was far more public debate over Invasion Day than now. People wasn't until 1994 that Australia Day became a thing. And I don't know where we're going. So, mean to say all that, states could change the date on their own, per se, but they don't need the permission of the Prime Minister. It just needs to pass through the majority. They only need the majority of... What are we listening to?
Warsaw, winter, 96.
Oh, yeah, we're listening... Oh, this is the Australia Day lame ad. Oh, this is great.
Minus 17, and not a char-grilled chop in sight. That was no way to spend Australia Day. We'll never let that happen to another Australian again. Commence Operation Boomerang.
Right now, there's thousands of Australians stranded overseas.
The snowball's chance in hell of eating lamb on Australia Day.
Let's go get them!
My finger's warm. That's bad. Let's go.
We're bringing you home for Australia Day.
You've been here 3 months. It's time to go home.
Come on, mate. A few hours, you'll be eating lamb on the beach.
But I'm a vegan now.
Aboard. Get him out of there.
Vegans.
Sorry, Mitch. No one retires from backyard cricket. Gary, get out of the pool.
We're coming home, folks, and not a minute too soon. The Kookaburra has landed.
So, are we smelling the lamb?
Yes, Prime Minister, the barbecue is lit.
Well done.
Well done. Never.
Oh, by the way, I don't want to play it again. By the way, that offended people, so that's fun. People were saying on Australia Today that was a racist ad because they went to different locations and kidnapped people. Why can't we have... We're 29 days into Australia Day. Why can't we have nice things? Seriously. Here's the thing. I know we're up on a break, but here's the thing. One thing. People can celebrate what they like on a particular day. For example, look at Christmas. Not everyone celebrates Christmas. I'm sure somewhere in the world that Christmas is reserved for a day of mourning too. I mean, that's probably not a good example. Like the 4th of July! Look at that. You know, some people would choose to do that as a day of mourning, but some people might see it as a day of celebration and what it means to be American. Why can't we do that here? Oh, yeah, you wait. 4th of July will come around this year and people will complain about how it's Invasion Day and everything's terrible. So you wait. That'll be next on the cards. You watch. But you know what we should celebrate on Australia Day as we continue here on the Generic Life Show? Well, we will go deep into detail about the award-winning recipients of the Australian of the Year Award. That's what happens on Australia Day too. Do we need to move that? Do we need to move that because that might offend some people? I need to get that off my chest. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Life Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here. It's 10:21. Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Roy, Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us. Now, update on an earlier story. The Australian Open has finally finished. That's right. At 10:16, we're now at 10:24, but 10:16 local time. Roger Federer takes out the Australian Open after in a 5-set epic win in a game that lasted for so long. So it just grueling game that lasted more than 3 hours here. It just kept going and going and going and going and going. But yeah, there you go. The match that lasted more than it started 2 hours. A game that lasted 2 hours, so there you go. Well, the winner, by the way, wins a healthy £224 million. That's pounds, by the way. I don't know what. Why is it in pounds? Oh, because they're. Okay. don't answer that question, Dale. Anyway, meanwhile, the Australian of the Year Awards happened on Australia Day, and we were just talking about Australia Day in the previous segment, so there you go. Australian of the Year is Emeritus Professor Alan Mackay Sim. He is a biomedical scientist treating spinal cord injuries, an inspirational scientist, an international leader in stem cell research, a global authority. The human sense of smell and biology of nasal cells. Alan led the world in the first clinical trial using these cells in a spinal cord injury. In 2014, Alan's research helped play a central role in the world's first successful restoration of mobility in a quadriplegic man. So, Alan Mackay Sim takes out Australian of the Year. Senior Australian of the Year is Sister Anne Gardner AM. The previous winner, Professor Sim, was from Queensland. Gardner is from Northern Territory. In 1953, as a 22-year-old member of Daughters of Our Lady of Scarred Heart, Sister Anne Gardner was asked to move to Bathurst Island to live among the Tiwi people. Sister Anne devoted 50 of the 63 years since enriching the community, enhancing opportunity to support the Tiwi culture. That there you go there. Young Australian of the Year is Paul Vassiliff. With a passion for fashion, Paul Vassiliff stitched his first dress at the tender age of 11, creating countless formal dresses for his friends in his teens, and was just 16 when he showcased his first fashion collection. The young boy who learned to sew his grandmother graduated from Milan's prestigious Europeo Industrio di Design and now has the brains behind Couture label Paleo Sebastian. There you go. And the winner of the Australia's Local Hero is Vicky Jelly. After her husband Peter died of cancer in 2008, Vicky found his plans for a local cancer fundraiser. His dream had to bring radiotherapy services to southwest Victoria. Peter's dream became Vicky's passion. In 2009, Vicky installed Peter's project, a community group dedicated to fighting for improved cancer services. There you go. We'll be honouring these heroes again next hour, but there you go. This is what Australia Day is all about, people. This is why I did these segments back to back, but this is what this country is about. This is what any country is about, is recognising those local heroes and putting them on a platter and kind of recognising the work that they do. And that's what it's all about. And again, we'll be recognising these heroes again next hour in greater detail, but these people deserved to win at these. And there was no slim pickings. Like, there were 31 finalists in each category, so a lot of effort goes into Australian of the Year awards as well. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, the Oscar and the not-so-Oscar awards nominations opened. We'll tell you who will reign and who reigns supreme in the crapper. Can I say crapper on the show? I just did. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Dale Campbell here with you. It's 10:31.
4:20 a.m. Waiting on some.
You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. As I bump my microphone all over the place, I just give it one big smack. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here. Now, well, this is the awards season to remember. I still can't get over how I just smack my microphone. I'm going to hear that later on and just going to be, you finally found the most generic. That's the name of the new show, is Smack My Microphone. Is that what we're going here with? All right. Focus. All right. So the 89th Academy Award nominations were announced. Honorary movies released in 2016. The ceremony is in pretty much exactly a month. The awards will be on Sunday night at the 26th. And yeah, we are what, pre-Oscar nomination show? There you go. Ooh, I have a thought, but I won't say it on air because that'll be disastrous if I say something out on air and don't actually do it. Anyway, we've got something. All right, so let's go with Best Picture because why not? And these nominations aren't in a best way. Okay, so Best Picture, we've got the nominees are Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. I think I've heard about 5 on that list. So, the Best Picture isn't as... They're not prominent. They're artsy films. They're not as prominent as they once was. They're not meant to be huge box office-y kind of deals. They're small art house projects these days. Let's get to actress in a supporting role. We're just going to do main ones here because we've also got the Razzies to get through as well in this segment, so this will be exciting. Actress in a supporting role, Viola Davis in Fences, Naomi Harris in Moonlight, Nicole Kidman in Lion, Octavia Spencer in Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams in Manchester by the Sea. Actress in a leading role, Isabel Huppert in Elle, Ruth Niga in Loving, Natalie Portman in Jackie, Emma Stone in La La Land, and Meryl Streep in Florence Foster Jenkins. Let's go with actor in... Oh, they're in alphabetical order. I just realized that. Sorry, these nominations are in alphabetical order. All right. Actor in a leading role. Let's go with... supporting role. Let's do supporting role. Okay. Mushakala Ali in Moonlight. Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water. Lucas Hedges in Manchester by the Sea. Dev Patel in Lion. And Michael Shannon in Nocturnal Animals. Actor in a leading role is Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea, Andrew Garfield in Hacksaw Ridge, the wonderful Ryan Gosling in La La Land, Viggo Morrison in Captain Fantastic, and Denzel Washington in Fences. By the way, every time I've said Captain Fantastic, I say it in the most unenthused way, Captain Fantastic. Through our sarcasm. All right, let's do some other categories here before we have to move on. Animated feature film, Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, My Life as a Zucchini, which I really want to see that, The Red Turtle, and Zootopia, which I think Moana is going to get it, but Zootopia was a good film in 2016, so. Best director, you've got Denis Villeneuve in Arrival, Mel Gibson for Hacksaw Ridge, Damien Gazelle in La La Land, Kenneth Lonergan in Manchester by the Sea, and Barry Jenkins in Moonlight. Any other ones here? Let's see. Original song, you've got Audition, The Fools Who Dream for La La Land, Can't Stop the Feeling by Trolls, City of Stars in La La Land, The Empty Chair from Jim, the James Foley story, and How Far I'll Go from Moana. Best Picture, which I've already done. Let's see what else is here. Sound editing, I don't No, sound mixing, visual effects, writing. I heard that Suicide Squad got a nomination. For makeup. There you go. Makeup and hairstyling. A band called Ove, Star Trek Beyond, and Suicide Squad, which unfortunately Suicide Squad is going to get that. And of course, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, got nominated for visual effects, although it's up against Doctor Strange and The Jungle Book in that category. So that is something that's not going to be an easy category like it normally is this time around. Speaking of easy categories.
Yes, 2016 was...
Whoa, here we go. Let's play this clip.
So overfull of bad movies that we had to expand every category.
From the usual five contenders
to six.
Magnum, now! You have this! Tequila!
Maybe we could try a washcloth.
Oh, Jesus. This is just clips. Yeah, okay. There you go. Alright, so... Zoolander 2 gets the dubious offer of earning the most nominations this time around for the grand total of 9. Ugh. Ugh. Coming in second is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Comes in second with 8 nominations. Oof. That's not going to be good. Alright, where are we? Yeah, the 2016 was so bad. Ooh, they, again, like the video said, they've expanded it to 6 per category. So, for worst picture, they've got Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Dirty Grandpa, Gods of Egypt, Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party, which that's odd. Independence Day, Resurgence, and Zoolander number 2, which I don't know, I can't predict that one. Worst actor, Ben Affleck in Batman v Superman, Gerard Butler in Gods of Egypt, and London Has Fallen, so a 2-for-1 there. Henry Cavill in Batman v Superman, Robert De Niro in Dirty Grandpa, Dinesh D'Souza playing himself in Hillary's America, and Ben Stiller in Zoolander 2. Worst actress, Megan Fox in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, which that's not fair. Tyler Perry in Boo, A Madea Halloween. Julia Roberts in Mother's Day, yeah, that movie was bad. I saw that on an aeroplane of all places. Becky Turner in... Hillary's America, Naomi Watts in Divergent Series, Legion, and the movie called Shut In, which I don't know what that movie is, and Shanid Woodley in Divergent Series, Allegiant. Let's see. Worst director, Dinesh D'Souza and Bruce Schooley for Hillary's America. Wow, Hillary's America, man. Not doing well. Ronan Emmerich is Independence Day Resurgence. Tyler Perry in Boo, A Madea Halloween. Alex Paris in Gods of Egypt. Zack Snyder in Batman vs. Superman. And Ben Stiller in Zoolander 2. Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel? Now, Alice Through the Looking Glass, of course gets worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel. Batman vs. Superman. 50 Shades of Black, which, yes, I forgot that was actually a thing. Independence Day Resurgence. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows and Zoolander 2. Worst screenplay. Suicide Squad only got nominated once. Oh, no. Jared Leto got worst supporting actor, which I don't know. He was fine. He was fine in it. He was the only good thing about that movie, I want to say for the record. What are the rest of them here? Worst supporting actress, Julianne Hough in Dirty Grandpa. Kate Hudson in Mother's Day. Aubrey Plaza in Dirty Grandpa. Jane Seymour in 50 Shades of Black. Selena Ward in Independence Day Resurgence. Christian Wiig in Zoolander number 2. Worst supporting actor, Nicolas Cage in Snowden. Johnny Depp in Alice Through the Looking Glass. Will Ferrell in Zoolander 2. Jesse Eisenberg, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Jared Leto in Suicide Squad, which, that doesn't sound right. But again, they had to extend their category to 6. And Owen Wilson for Zoolander number 2. Number 2! Worst screen combo. I like this category. Ben Affleck and his BFF, Baddest Foe Forever. Ugh. Henry Cavill, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Any two Egyptian gods or mortals ever. Gods of Egypt. Johnny Depp and his Vomitrostic vibrant costume. Vibrant costume. Alice Through the Looking Glass. The entire cast of once respected actors in cholesterol beauty. Tyler Perry in that same old worn out wig. In Boo and Madea Christmas. Ben Stiller and his BFF, barely funny friend, Owen Wilson, playing Owen Wilson in Zoolander number 2. Wow. Wow. That's rough. These are rough. And we'll know the winner of the Razzies, because they get announced on the Saturday. They get announced on the 25th. So we'll definitely know them before, before we know the Oscars. Gosh, I forgot about half of these movies. I didn't expect that conservative movie though getting 5 nominations. That didn't really, that shocked me. I wouldn't have picked that at all. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Well, it's been a week, guys. Donald Trump has been president of the United States for a week. Trust me, we will be talking about the refugee crisis that he has caused on himself. But we are going to, it's going to be probably one of our benign segments here on the show, unfortunately, is to check the Trump tracker. It's now going to be known as the Trump tracker. Unfortunately, that's just the way it's going to be. We check the Trump tracker right after this. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here. It's 10:49. We're here to give you a big dose of genericness. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Now, Trump has been in office for 10 days now. And, well, while his results to some people have not been entirely what they want, we do, with one, there are, what, only 1,451 days left in office. So, there's time. There are, by the way, when we do the Trump tracker, there are 60 promises that he outlined in his contract to the American voter, which is an oddly specific plan that will guide his administration, starting from the first day, as endless 60 promises. He even signed that with his distinctive signature, with those small hands. No. Donald Trump's terms, thanks to the Washington Post for keeping us updated on this Trump tracker. And it's now becoming a regular segment here on the Generic Live Show. So let's get to week two of the Trump tracker. I don't have bumper music. Why don't I have bumper music? Well, you know what? We've got this. Oh, I know something appropriate. It's week two of the Trump tracker. Oh. I'm going to get so much hate mail for that. It's not even funny. Okay, so his promise, he has launched six of his promises, and he's kept three of them. 51 have not yet been started. This week alone, he has the promise to fund the construction of a wall on our southern border. Republican lawmakers signaled a willingness to fund the wall with taxpayer dollars. On January 25th, Trump signed an order to the Secretary of Homeland Security to begin planning and designing a southern border wall. But the wall requires a congressional appropriation. We'll see what that says. Cancel visas. The next promise is cancel visas to foreign countries that won't take back legal immigrations, which that we'll get to next hour. That has caused some trouble. On January 25th, Trump signed an executive order that said, quote, the Secretary of State shall, to the maximum extent permitted by law, ensure that diplomatic effects and negotiations with foreign states include condition precedent at the acceptance by those foreign states for nationals who are subject to removal from the United States. This is much less sweeping than his pledge to immediate cancel visas from those countries. There you go. He also, on January 25th, 2025 is a big day, issued an executive order that declared that sanctuary cities that refused to comply were not eligible for federal grants except those deemed necessary for law enforcement purposes. This is a much tamer than Trump to cancel all federal funding. The order will not be tested in the courts. So that's why that it's been labeled as launched, but not necessarily as kept, because it hasn't, it's not all of them. So on January 24th, this is begin the process of selecting a replacement for Justice Antonin Scalia. There will be, next week will be an announcement of who the Supreme nominee would be. He's kept the promise of lifting the Obama-Clinton roadblocks and allow virtual energy infrastructure projects like the Keystone Pipeline to move forward. He has kept that. He has announced the U.S. withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He has kept the imposing of hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce the federal workforce through attrition, excluding military, public safety, and public health, because they're important. A launched idea is to announce the intention to renegotiate NAFTA or withdraw under the deal, from the deal under Article 2205. And, of course, the other one that is launched is fully repeal and replace Obamacare. So we will keep track of these Trump... that's the Trump tracker. That's the Trump tracker. That we're keeping a very, very close eye on this Trump tracker. Next hour, we'll talk more about the travel, quote-unquote travel ban, and what's the deal with visas. So, what's the deal with visas? So, that's a terrible accent. You know, I tried to do a Trump accent in the 1 minute we have here. I want to say this. I tried to do a Trump accent at work the other day, and it just turned out to be Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons. It turned out to be... I don't know how, but it just... I can't do it justice here, but it's just turned into Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons. It just, it went really downhill really quickly. So, there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, live and local here in Australia. Well, New South Wales, get ready because you are about to get shoken up. Shoken up is not a thing. Shaken up is a thing, but I'd rather the phrase shoken up. There you go. As we continue, you have a new premier. Exactly. You're speechless, as am I. But we'll tell you more all about it as we continue here on the Generic Live Show, diving in to hour two of the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 11 o'clock.